Well, I have a question for you. If you were to use just one word, how would you describe the last federal election? Well, according to my next guest, it was an earthquake that shook the nation. That's the title of the latest book from journalist and author Nikki Savin. She joins me now in the studio. And Nikki, welcome back to Breakfast.
Great to be here. Thank you.
You did a lot of interviews with a lot of politicians for this book. What surprised you?
Well, I guess I was surprised by the depth of the divisions inside the Liberal Party leading up to the election. I was surprised by the seeming unpreparedness of Dutton. I was surprised by how badly he campaigned for someone who had been around politics for such a long time. And put together, I would have to say it was the worst campaign that I've ever covered. And I think I counted up about 20. And there were quite a number of reasons for that. A breakdown of trust between the main players inside the parliamentary party, then between Dutton and campaign headquarters. Dutton narrowing his circle of advice and thinking that he could win by using the same tactics that he used in the Voice referendum, which was to just be negative about everything and to say no and not to have some alternative prescriptions for people, mainly on cost of living.
It's interesting in the book, you were talking about a lack of trust, but at the same time, it seemed to be almost to a point of causing problems. There was a lack of trust, but there was loyalty at the same time. No one spoke up to say, listen, or effectively, listen, we're in a lot of trouble here.
Mm. Well, one of them, Angus Taylor, said to me, they had this idea that Dutton knew what he was doing because he had been winning a marginal seat for so many elections, that they had won the Voice referendum, and that, you know, he thought, and they believed him, that he had a golden touch with suburban voters, when in fact all that turned out to be wrong, wrong, wrong. So even at the most critical moment, I believe, when Dutton decided inside the budget lockup to vote against the tax cut, $5 a week tax cut, yes, which was pretty measly, but it was symbolic of something, right? Mm. And to allow the party to go to an election and have Labor to be the party of lower taxes. Mm. For them to have allowed that to happen, yes, they objected. They tried to convince him not to oppose it and to come up with an alternative, but he wouldn't. And yet they felt that even at that stage, they couldn't roll him. It was too late, so they just went along.
How important is it to remember for context that, you know, Labor had a very strong victory in this election, but towards the end of 2024, it wasn't looking that great for Labor. There were a lot of concerns. What turned things around?
Well, it was looking really bad for Albanese at the end of 2024. In fact, people were thinking and the polls were showing that the best he was likely to do was to form minority government. And I remember writing a column that if that was the case, he should just wave goodbye to everyone.
You still got a Christmas card from him despite that column you said in the book.
Him and Jody and Toto, but I do think it was sent before that column appeared. And, you know, he still has a little niggle about it here and there.
But it was looking grim.
Mm. It was. It was looking very grim. He was off his game. Albo was off his game. There's no doubt about that. People who are close to him say that the defeat of the referendum knocked him around a lot more than people realised, because he had felt that he had let people down and that it was a great moral defeat for the country. So he was really affected by that, and he kind of dropped his bundle a bit. But I think the realisation over Christmas that if he didn't pull his finger out and if they didn't get their act together, that he would go down as a one-termer forced him to focus his mind. But also he had very good people around him whose advice he trusted, like Paul Erickson, the National Secretary, like Jim Chalmers, like Katie Gallagher and Penny Wong. And he spent the two-week break that he had really pulling himself together. They formulated a fair number of their policies inside that period. And by January 2, he was ready to go. He was ready to hit the campaign trail. And his colleagues pleaded with him to wait a few more days. So he did. He waited until January 6. Then he burst out of the blocks and announced the $7 billion in funding for the Bruce Highway. And one of his close friends, Darcy Byrne, said to me later, he willed himself to do it. He literally, you know, willed himself to do it because facing the prospect of defeat and again letting people down was not something that he wanted to do. So he campaigned a hell of a lot better also in 2025 than he did in 22, and that counted for a lot. So, I mean, there were two stories in that campaign. One was how well Labor constructed its campaign and how well their leader performed. And on the other side, the leader performed extremely badly. I do not believe that he had a single good day during that campaign. And they tried to win without policies, which was a debacle.
Nikki Savva, we need to look forward just before we finish up. The ramifications, the aftershocks, if you like, from this 2025 election, what does it mean for the remaining term for the government and also for the opposition?
Well, I think for the government, it cannot coast. It cannot rely on the coalition being divided and you know, not knowing where it's going to go and what policies it's going to go for, to allow the government to just coast along and think it doesn't have to produce anything. The government has to deliver on its mandate, but its mandate is to deliver good government and to do what needs to be done, even though it wasn't completely spelled out in the election. So they need to pay attention to that. Because from, I guess, where we sit at the moment, it does not look possible for the Liberal Party to get its act together. I think it's going to take a long time for that to happen. And I think a lot of change needs to happen internally and externally, and it needs a strong leader to be able to ensure that both the successful wings of the Liberal Party, the moderate wing and the conservative wing, can come together. And unless they can do that, people doubt very much whether the party will in fact hold together, and fear that there could be another split. And also, if it fails to hold together, there's no law that says that a political party has to survive. It could well become extinct. And that is something that a few of them recognise and fear and are trying to work out how to avoid. Whether they succeed or not, we'll have to wait and see.
Nikki Savva, thank you for coming in this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you, Sally.